I switched to Geico and saved hundreds.
Hello and welcome to Speaking With Carl Thornton Jr. Hope that your week is going well so far. If you don't mind, could we take a listen just for a minute here? ESPN and get up on this game for a minute.
About last night's game. The amount of sheer, absolute, undeniable talent that the Warriors have on their roster, it's as bright and blinding as the sun. It is the absolute main thing about this team, often to the point where it makes it hard to talk about anything else. Take last night's game two against the Raptors. Golden State was once again without Kevin Durant, who's not only arguably the best player on their team, but arguably the best player in the league. Then Kevon Looney, who has eaten up a lot of Durant's minutes these past few weeks, goes out with a chest contusion, and he doesn't play the second half. Then Klay Thompson lands awkwardly on this shot. Take a look. Yeah. This is not how a grown man's legs are supposed to go. Klay would limp back to the locker room, where he, too, was pronounced done for the night with a hamstring injury. Now, for most teams, that level of lost personnel would be devastating. For example, just imagine if Toronto had to play last night's entire game without Kawhi Leonard, then one of its lead bench players went down, then Kyle Lowry went down as well. The players left on the floor? Well, they wouldn't be expected to win an NBA Finals game. But Golden State, again, talent. The loss of Durant, Looney, and Klay meant that down the final stretch of a game they absolutely had to have, the Warriors were only fielding six-time All-Star Steph Curry, four-time All-Star DeMarcus Cousins, three-time All-Star Draymond Green, and hey, it was 2012, but it still counts All-Star Andre Iguodala. And yeah, Iggy is also a former Finals MVP, which seems relevant because it was he who once again delivered another big Finals moment. Hitting last night's dagger, terrific recovery and no-look pass from Sean Livingston. That basket killed off what had been a last-gasp Raptors comeback, and we got a nice little exchange afterward with Iguodala and Livingston. These guys have actually known each other since they were 11 and 10 years old, respectively. They grew up playing elementary school basketball games against each other in Illinois, which is pretty cool to be able to connect on a play like that. And it's funny, afterwards Steph called it disrespectful that the Raptors had left Iggy open for that shot. Now, I'm guessing the Raptors would argue, after all, before Iggy fired it off, he was riding a six-game streak in which he had gone 1-for-14 from three. But Steph is right about this. In a game-on-the-line situation, Iguodala has that it quality that is unmeasurable on a stat sheet or a scout's talent report. Whatever you want to call it, heart or will or absence of fear, it's weirdly the thing that we sometimes forget to credit enough to this Warriors team. Yes, they have blinding out-of-this-world talent, but squint past that, and they have so many players who are also all-stars when it comes to the mental side of the game, the toughness and the fortitude required to put that level of talent to work. We saw it last night in Steph, who started feeling so weirdly lightheaded at the start of last night's game, he needed to briefly leave the court for medical treatment, but came back to just keep pushing, making a series of key plays at the end of the first half. Take Cousins, who everyone thought was done for these playoffs when he got hurt in the first round, who even once he came back, let's be honest, many thought he was too slow to be an asset in this series. That's who spearheaded what became a raucous 18-0 Golden State run at the start of the second half. Take Draymond, who roared back in Game 2 after being taken to the cleaners by Pascal Siakam in Game 1. Take even Iggy, who got trucked by Marc Gasol early in the game, and yeah, just came back. All of that, the determination, the bravado, the ironclad belief in themselves, that is what evened this series as much or more than talent. And frankly, it's what's going to be needed even more from the Warriors as they go here. Klay's getting an MRI on his hamstring today. He told me he absolutely intends to play, but it's unclear how effective he'll be. Steph told me in The Athletic's Marcus Thompson he's going to need an IV on the plane back to the Bay last night. And we don't even know how significant Looney's injury is or when KD is coming back. All we know is that whoever the Warriors put out for Game 3, they will need to play with a resiliency that may be even more important than all that talent.
What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? I tell you what, that is game. What do you attribute it to? Do you attribute it more to heart, brilliance, determination? What do you attribute it to? I tell you what, they're a phenomenal team. whatever we would attribute it to. And of course, they got the right coach too. I'm telling you, these guys are awesome with a capital A. Well, so that said, here's my next question. Who do you think is going to take game three? Who do you think is going to take the series? Who's going to take the whole kit and caboodle to take home the rings? I'll tell you what. Well, I do have a preference. I will say that. I do have a preference, but as you all know, I'm not an athlete. I'm not a sports expert by any stretch of the imagination. But I got to tell you, I'm impressed by both teams, but especially by the Warriors, because like she was saying, for them to have lost so many of their key players at the same time, I mean, can you imagine losing one key player tonight? Two nights later, you lose another key player, but the first one who went out is back. That would be tough enough. Key players out at the same time. All right. Let's keep our eyes and ears open. You know, I want to go back to a conversation that I had with Dr. Karp a few weeks ago. You know, he joined me to talk about Dr. Bill Karp. He joined me to talk about nutrition. And our focus wasn't sports nutrition. I remember Kate Davis, who is a sports nutrition expert, talked with us about sports nutrition, particularly as it pertains to looking out for our child athletes. Dr. Karp and I just spoke about nutrition in general on that Thursday. And there's one part of that discussion that I want us to go back to. It has to do with when we were talking about those holiday meals. And I was pointing out that it had been said for some time that mayonnaise was causing people to get sick on Thanksgiving Day in particular. And that as time went on, they began to discover that mayonnaise had not been the problem, it was the meat. And I was getting ready to recount what the scientists have said. It is about the meat that had been causing people problems when Dr. Karp decided to come on in with his comments. And he said, I'm not going to let you get by with that, Carl. And he started talking about what the real problem was. And he said the problem was not the meat. He said that the problem is people eat so much on Thanksgiving Day that for some people, that day pushes their bodies over the edge, because many of them, he said, have been overeating throughout the year. And then they overeat so much on Thanksgiving Day, and he said on Christmas too, but especially Thanksgiving Day, that it pushes their bodies over the edge. And that is the single day that people have the most heart attacks in the year, particularly that which is related to food, that which is food related. And as he was talking about that, I just began to envision people going to the table for the third time, for the fourth time, for the fifth time, 2, 3, 4 hours later, after having that first helping, going back 3 hours later, and I just envisioned people with these nice, long, sharp knives cutting off that eighth piece of ham for the day. And don't get me wrong, nothing against ham. I really like ham. And sometimes just my preference really and truly for some of these holiday meals, I know a lot of people like turkey. My preference is that since if we're going to have more than one meat, I'd like to have turkey and have ham. So I'm not, you know, saying anything negative about the ham. I just in my mind, I just see more fat on ham than on turkey. And that's why I say, you know, I just envision people going back for the eighth time, getting their fifth piece of ham, nice big chunk of ham, maybe some turkey on the side and whatever else they're eating. maybe a nice big helping of macaroni and cheese, their fourth or fifth helping. And I was just envisioning people just really, really stuffing themselves with mucho fat. I mean, calories are calories, and we already know that too much of anything is not good for us, even when the food itself is a healthy type of food. Too much is too much. But we know that on Thanksgiving, very often we have a lot of food that is healthy and a lot of food that is unhealthy. And I was just envisioning people just really gorging themselves on that food. And I got so caught up thinking about, imagining, envisioning what some people probably do on Thanksgiving Day that I forgot to return to my point about the meat being the problem when it comes to not just heart attacks, because I really wasn't talking about heart attacks. Dr. Karp talked about heart attacks, but when I talked about getting sick, people getting sick, I wasn't referring to heart attacks at all. I was referring to the bacterial types of sickness, the bacterial caused sickness and not heart attacks. And I want to bring that up now because I really want you all to know that it really is true what you've been reading and hearing from the nutritional scientists, the experts for years, the last several years, is true. They're right. When we cook our meats, the meats need to be prepared, cooked, baked at the right temperature to kill the bacteria so that when we eat the meat, we're not eating bacteria with it. And that said, and this is why I said that the experts have discovered that the problem was the meat. They were thinking that people eating mayonnaise was causing the sickness when it comes to bacteria. And then they found out that meat was causing problems. Why? Because even though many people were cooking the meat at the right temperature and getting rid of the bacteria, they were not keeping the bacteria out. You know how we often do it? We cook our foods and we leave that food out all day. Some of the foods we can get away with that, but other foods we can't get away with that, particularly meats. Meats need to be refrigerated after we have finished our first round. And when I say the first round, people fill their plates up. 12 minutes later, they go get another carving of turkey, another carving of ham, some more string beans, whatever they're getting. And so they get that second helping, that third helping, and they're done for a while. That's what I mean by the first round. We finish that first round, and for some people, I know all you're going to get is that one helping because you can't eat anymore and don't really want to eat anymore on Thanksgiving Day than you would typically eat just because it's Thanksgiving Day. You eat the way you normally eat. I dig it. I'm with you on that. But I'm just saying, we finished that first round and we leave the food out. And so when people go ahead and go back 2 hours later, they're cutting off a slice of meat that's been sitting out in the open for about 3 hours, because it's been sitting out even before we cut the first slice. 3 hours, the meat's been sitting out, growing bacteria. And people just cut off that next slice, and many, I'll say, will eat it at room temperature. They won't heat the meat up. But remember what we're supposed to do when we eat the meat again. We're supposed to heat it again to room temperature to kill the bacteria. The bacteria can start back growing when we have that meat sitting out. So what do the experts recommend? They recommend that when we finish that first round, put food in the refrigerator. And then when we get it out, properly heat it again. So that any bacteria that may have started to grow on that meat will be killed again and will be eating safely. So that's what I was getting to when I said the experts, the scientists discovered that the meat was the problem. The meat in and of itself, of course, not. The bacteria on the meat, technically. But the bacteria was on the meat. You eat the meat, you eat the bacteria that's on the meat. And so I just wanted to remind you. I wanted to bring that back up again. Because, again, I got so lost in my envisionings, my imaginings, seeing these people rushed off to the hospital because they ate too much on Thanksgiving Day, that I forgot to get back to my point. But I didn't want to just leave it. It hit me later that day. Oh, I forgot to get back to my point about the meat so that I could point out the issues with bacteria on the meat. So be sure, ladies and gentlemen, whether it's Thanksgiving Day, whatever day of the week it is, whatever day of the year it is, when it comes to meats, heat them properly when you're cooking them, whether baking or whatever. First round is over, go ahead and put them in the fridge. I know for the most part, we're not going to be leaving the meats out 3 and 4 hours on a typical day. We tend to leave the food out longer on Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, because especially Thanksgiving Day, where it's understood that we're going to be, a lot of people are going to be eating all day. Of course, you have people coming by to visit, and the food's going to be ready. Well, nothing wrong with heating it up. So go ahead and refrigerate that meat to keep it safe. All right. That's it. I'd like for you to hear a little bit of this as we get ready to go to first break. And I want you to know, when we come back, we're going to be taking a look at some of the ways that some of our political leaders are proposing that we help our families, American families, particularly the poor. Center for Budget and Policy Priorities is providing this information. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when our political leaders have the heart to do so, they really can help America's poor and America's middle class. The good news is we do have a lot of politicians who do want to help the poor and the middle class. The question is, are there enough politicians to get enough cooperation that the poor and the middle class can be helped? Back in a few as we get ready to explore that.